was someone. I was at Lindenbaum. Oh, that's annoying. That's really annoying. Who did that?
No,
you need to have a chemical. Use the permanent marker on there.
Do you want me to get the chemical?
No. We have a chemical downstairs on there. We'll get it later. Okay. First time I gave this year was a student when I was at Lindenbaum came back and visited and said she had been at a B'nai Akiva program. After a year, I don't even know what it was, but it's a B'nai Akiva program. And the mother, it's Friday night, and a bunch of students are there, I guess college students, whatever. And mother brought out tea that she had made in a klisheni. Okay? So, just for clarity's sake, it's really annoying. Just for clarity's sake, let's say that we have a hot pot. Yeah? And you then fill up a cup from the hot pot. This would be a Kli Rishon, this would be a Kli Sheni. Alright? They made tea in a Kli Sheni. Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's the position I follow, says always make tea in a Kli Shlishi at best. Okay? They made tea in a Kli Sheni. So the mother brings out the tea. In other words, she put water into a bunch of tea bags from the kumkum. And she then, that's called a kumkum. Okay, or a dude. She not be confused with the dude in the movie. But she made the tea in klisheni. She put tea bags in klisheni. Brings out the tea. The madriach from B'nai Akiva, one of the B'nai Akiva guys. And as I said last time, he probably went to Gush, but I'm just guessing that. Gets up and announces, "Don't drink the tea. It's usher." Okay. Now the problem with that is a lot of guys in yeshiva just don't learn halacha. So how do you learn halacha? He would probably have learned that according to some people, it's okay to make tea in Kli Sheni. So not only was he wrong, as we're going to learn about Maaseh Shabbat, what happens if people make mistakes, but he was also wrong in just basic issues in Hilchot Bishul. So because of that, he embarrassed someone publicly, which is also a great issue, right? So I want us to avoid making this. There's sheets around. I want us to avoid making this error. We'll go quickly through the makarot, and that will give me, and then I can answer questions. Okay? We're still there 45 minutes, so I don't know. I'll try and do all the makarot like a half an hour or so, and give 10 minutes for question and answers. All right? Fair enough? Okay. The main thing is that number one, the Sukkah says, it's not Mavasho b'Shabbat. Someone cooks on Shabbos. Is Rabbi Sussman in this? It's shocking me. Whatever. I have a big chart to make. Okay. So, Mavasho b'Shabbat. So, we're going to conclude there are three positions. Position of Rebbe Meir, position of Rebbe Yehuda, and position of Rebbe Yochanan Asanvar. Okay, so we're doing three positions, two cases. Shogeg, that's an accident. They made a mistake, an accident. Mazy, on purpose. What does it mean on purpose? They're going to make tea, and Kli Rishon, let's say, that according to everybody is problematic, say, hey, you can't just do that. And the person says, I don't care. Right? That would be problematic. Okay? That would be mazy. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, of course, it was William Malacha, we had Aiden, we'd have a whole like hoopla, we'd all get excited, we'd kill the person. Right? And then we'd be in a mind python film. Okay? Yeah? You with me? Yes, they never killed anybody. You know that. He was like, don't kill anyone. Then someone wrote a doctoral dissertation at Columbia on claiming that preventing power was really about killing people, even though they didn't kill people. But you can read Beth Wetzerman's dissertation. Okay, fine. So now we're going to have to eke out from this Mishnah several positions, okay? And you'll see the positions are actually important to know for us to unravel the whole thing. Okay. Vashvashvat b'shogeg. Yochal, amazing, Liyokal, Diva, Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir says, now by the way, I'm going to throw in a factor. We're going to show again. We're going to factor in, as we'll see in a minute, There is the person who perpetrated the Aveiro, and there's everybody else. Okay? And we're going to fill that in. So we're going to say him, everyone. Okay? Lo acherim. Lo acherim. Okay? Everyone's going to have to have their positions on those two factors. Okay? So it's going to end up being multiple factors across the board. Very mathematical. And it's whatever, we'll see. Okay, so the first position is Rishogit Yochal, the Mazi Lo Yochal, Dear Mayor. So he says you can eat it if it's done by accident, you can eat it. Amazing, you can't eat it. I'll fill in the board in a minute because I want to go to the Mishnah really quickly. I think maybe this is easier. I've taught this a million times, but this might be an easier way to do it. That's Rishogit Mayor. Rehudo Mayor, Rishogit Yochal, Bemotze Shabbat, Bemazi Lo Yochal Olamit. He says, Bashoga, you can eat it after Shabbos. On Mazi, you can never eat it. We don't know who he's referring to. Neither a mayor or a Yehuda tell us this distinction I made between him and everyone else. As we'll see, Ryokhan Sadler is going to talk with us. Ryokhan Sadler, a mayor, Bashoga, Yochal, Lamote, Shabbat, Lacherim. So I'm going to start with Ryokhan Sadler. He's Lacherim, can eat it Saturday night. Okay? But him, he can never eat it. Right? Moshe Shabbat Lacherim. Below low. Never. Okay? And then he says, below low. Mazi lo yochal mi lo 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 acharim. Never. Never. So far, so good? Okay? Now we got to fill in the rest. As we're going to see, the Tosafot are going to point out that we're going to end up having a triple effect where what one considers shogeg, the other one considers mazi. So if that's the case, we're just going to apply these over here and you'll see how it works. Lo, never. Acharim, Saturday night. And what's going to be here? It's going to be Saturday night. Which we're going to apply over here to Mayor, Saturday night, and he's going to say they can both eat it during the day. Let me double check one thing. I might make one mistake. Hold on one second. So let's go. Yochal hu atzmo uvov yom insocham tiyad erev v'yitzasur. I don't know all the others. You tell us sort of amazing to eat if you're fine. But amazing to eat yisura lo yochal bova yom hach tekshach.
That we know. That
one's easy. Yitzasur hu atzim acharim na midasur nechla bova yom. Okay. Rashi, is this clear so far? Is this board clear? I'll go through it. Reb Meir says that if someone makes a mistake on Shabbat, everyone can eat the food. Right? He can eat it, everyone else can eat it. If he did it on purpose, no one can eat it. As Rashi explains, we don't want people to benefit from a purposefully done Aveira on Shabbat. But the food is still edible. Okay? According to Yehuda, if you do it by accident, I don't want you to benefit even from accidental Malacha on Shabbat. No one should eat on Shabbat. They can eat Saturday night. If they did it on purpose, so everyone else, they didn't do it. It's not their fault. They can eat it Saturday night. Okay? Him, he did it on purpose. I don't want him to ever eat it. There's a term for that in Hebrew. You know what the term is? Kanas. We're going to punish him. Okay? This is not a punishment. This is a declaration we don't want anyone to benefit from Malacha Don Shabbos. Okay? We don't want anyone to benefit from it. This, we're giving him a punishment. Moshe Shabbat, Rabbi Yochanan Sadler says the same thing. By accident, okay. I don't want him who accidentally transgressed Shabbat to ever benefit even from his accidental transgression. Acharim, they didn't do anything. So Saturday night, they can eat it. Okay? Comes after Shabbat, I don't want anyone to benefit from Malacha on Shabbat. Is that clear? Now, Rashi is going to say, I'll use a green pen. What about what time? Saturday night. Those who say you have to wait which is most of the cases here. Most of the cases say you have to wait. Okay, you have to wait Saturday night, except for Rabbi Meir in an accidental case. He says you don't have to wait. Most of us have to wait until Saturday night. What time Saturday night? So Rashi says, Kidei Shiyasu. I don't want you to benefit from Malach on Shabbos. Therefore, wait the amount of time it would take to do that malacha. Someone accidentally spaced out and cooked a hamburger on Shabbat. You can eat the hamburger on Shabbat, Motzei Shabbat, according to those who say you can, if you wait the amount of time that it would take to cook the hamburger. That's Rashi. Rashi says, it's called Kidei, this is Rashi, Kidei Shiyasu. We don't like Shitas Rashi. Okay? Let me explain why. Rashi is a very basic issue. I don't want you to benefit. Those who say wait till Saturday night, whatever appears on the chart, wait till Saturday night and don't benefit from Lachon Shabbos. That would include Saturday night. Many of the Tosafot and other Rishonim say, Rashi, that's not the issue here. The issue is I don't want people to transgress Shabbat. Okay? If a person purposely transgressed Shabbat, and we say, no, you can't eat until after Shabbos, the amount of time. What are they going to do the next week?
Do it again.
They'll do it again. They don't care. They did it on purpose anyway. So they don't care. And if they did it by accident, they had no intent. Right? Kidei Shiyasu is generally a halach in regards to non-Jews. If a non-Jew cooked for a Jew on Shabbat, we don't want the Jew to get benefit from it immediately, so that our Gentile friends who don't know halacha won't assume it's okay to cook near the end of Shabbos for a Jew who can eat it right away. So therefore, in order to prevent the non-Jews from mistaking Hilchot Shabbat, we say that the way it's Kadesh Yahu. So that's the Rambam's position. The Rambam's position is those who say Saturday night, they mean immediately Saturday night. Okay? And that is pretty much the dominant position everyone else besides Rashi.
Back to Rashi was what time Saturday?
He said the amount of time it would take to do the malacha. I'll give you an example of that, which came up in Israel, is about buses. Usually a thing that some bus drivers, if they were non-religious bus drivers, would start a route, let's say, 20 miles from their house, right? So what they would do is they would drive on Shabbos to get to the thing so they could start right after Shabbat. All right? So some people said, don't take those buses, like Rashi's position, because we don't want the bus drivers to think they can do that. These are non-religious bus drivers, and maybe they'll stop doing it if no one takes the first bus. Right? That actually would work. But in regards, there was a whole discussion years and years ago about problems with first bus Saturday night. Let's look at another Gemara, similar Gemara. Okay, let's look at number four. Number four is a parallel Gemara to the one we just read. What we read was Chulin. The reason I gave it is because Rashi is clearer in the Sukkah in Chulin than he is on Baba Kama. But the Gemara in Baba Kama is longer and fleshes out some of the issues, okay? So we'll go real quickly to Baba Kama, number four. Tanah, we learn a Mishnah, exact Mishnah we've already read. Mavashu Shabbat B'Shogi Yochal B'Meizi Lo Yochal Dri Meir. Rehud Omer B'Shogi Yochal Motei Shabbat B'Meizi Lo Yochal Amit Reyochan Asan Lo Omer B'Shogi Yochal Motei Shabbat L'Acherim Lo Lo B'Meizi Lo Yochal Amit Lo Lo L'Acherim. That's our chart. Okay, I'm going fast, but it should be pretty, I'm hoping it's going clear. Remeir says, by accident, what can you do? You can eat it. You do it on purpose? You gotta wait. Rehuda says, you did it on accident, you gotta wait till Saturday night. But you can eat it because it's an accident, what are you gonna do? You did it on purpose, that guy is punished. We don't want him to ever eat it. Reuven Sandler says, even in Shogeg, I want that to be the case. Everyone else can eat it Saturday night, but he can only eat it Motzei Shabbat. However, if he did it on purpose, Reuven Sandler says, you can never eat it. One of these things is not like the others. Well, I just gave six positions. One of those six positions is a little bit, which doesn't matter, two of them are different. Okay? Two of them are different, but one's really different. Think about the focus of the entire discussion here. Who are we focusing on? Or what are we focusing on? What's kind of the fulcrum everything relies, runs upon?
person who cooks it.
Person who cooks it, don't eat it, right? Maybe you can eat it later on. What is true about the food in all those cases? In every case, there's something true about what we can do with that food at some point in time.
Eat it.
Eat it. Every single position says that that food is edible at some point in time, except for one of them. What position says the food is never edible? Rabbi Yochanan Sandler and Mazid. He says the food itself is usur. Okay? All the rest of the cases are who can eat it, we don't want, da-da-da. But Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says it's usur, the food itself, the focus on the food. If we were briskers, we'd say all the other positions focus on the gavra, the person, and the last one focus on the heft of the object. It's one of those cases where Lundus actually is crystal clear. It's true. Right? The object becomes usur. Let's see why. And the Gemara is explicit about that. My time at Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. I don't understand Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Why does he say the food is really usur forever? Okay? Kedidarius Rabbi Chia, Pitcha de Benesia, like the halachic discussion Rabbi Chia gave when he was hanging out at the gate of the head of the Jewish community's house, the prince. Quote, here's the pasuk. Ushmartem et ha-shabbat ki kodesh hi lachem. That's the pasuk. Keep Shabbos because it's holy. Ma Kodesh. What's Kodesh often?
Separate.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But what things are called Kodesh? There's one thing which is quintessential Kodesh. Kodshim. What are Kodshim? What are Kodashim?
Stuff for the, like, separated from the temple.
Beit HaMikdash. Sacrifices. Sacrifice or Kodesh. Who can eat, like a Korban Ola? Who can eat a Korban Ola?
No one.
Goes to God. It's Usur. Kodesh means it's forbidden. Kodesh, by the way, Kedusha, generally speaking, in Halacha, means that something is cut off from something else. Right? The classic example, if you've not learned this, I highly suggest you learn it. The first chapter of Masechet Kelim. Kelim is 30 chapters of excruciating detail on various vessels that can become Tameh and not become Tameh. But the first chapter deals with the rings of holiness in Eretz Yisrael. It's really powerful. And it cuts down and cuts down and cuts down until the Kodesh Kodeshim. And Kodesh is defined by who can go where. If something's Kodesh, it's separated out. Right? It's sacrifices can't be eaten by anybody. So he says Shabbos is called Kodesh. Ma Kodesh Asur Bachila, just like holy objects, Kodshim, sacrifices, no one can eat them. Af Maaseh Shabbat Asurim Bachila. So too, something which was done on Shabbat is Asur Bachila. What type of argument is that? What level of prohibition does he seem to say this is? Why? Why is it Drabbanan?
Because it's not actually Diraita, it's just applying it.
Why is it actually Diraita? What's his basis?
Well,
what's his basis?
It's basically
there's a Pasuk. It's a drush on a Pasuk. The Chor is a bona fide drush, this is Diraita. He understands the food of Asar Min HaTorah. Seemingly. It could be not Smakta, but he's certainly drush from a Pasuk. Sounds like it's Asar Min HaTorah. Ima Kodesh Asur Bahana. If that's the case, sacrifices are also not to get benefit from it all. You're not to sell them. Can you not sell the stuff? Af Maaseh Shabbat Asur Bahana. Tavlomer Lechem Shalechem Yeheh. No, it belongs to you. So you can still sell the hamburger, you just can't eat the hamburger. Yeah, Yechol Afilu B'Shogeg. Well, if it's true about doing it on purpose, shouldn't it also be true if you did it by accident? An event happened, a masa happened. Tambalomar, the pasuk says, Michala Motumat. He who transgresses on purpose shall surely die. But Mezid Amartil Afilu B'Shogeg. The pasuk is referring to someone doing it on purpose. So therefore, says Yochanan Sandler, seemingly, this is prohibited. The object, the food is usur, seemingly min haTorah. Okay? Usur min haTorah. Clear? Yochanan Sandler. If that's the case, as we've already said, all the other cases are cases where the food's not usur. And in fact, what do we say about the person? Why did we think about like a mayor in Maisie who says everyone else can eat it? Well, let's take Rehuda in Maisie. He says, Yehuda says, if you do it on purpose, the guy can never eat it, everyone else can eat it. So what's true about the food, as we've already established? The food's mutter to eat. The problem is, he can't. That sounds like, as I said before, we call that a kanas. He's punished. Usually that sounds like, when we use the language of kanas, usually that sounds like probably rabbinic, probably drabana. They say, don't do it. Okay?
Not sending chametz to the Pesach, and then
that's a kanas drabana.
Yeah,
chametz for the Pesach is kanas drabana. Okay, so look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, "What about everybody else?" Okay. Pligi, you see that second to the last line in number four, second last line, four words from the end. Pligi ba Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha and Ravina, late generation of Meraim, disagreed on the following halacha. Chadamar Masa Shabbat Diraita. One said the food is Asur Min HaTorah. Now we know who said that. Who also said that, seemingly? One said it's Asur Min HaTorah. One said it's only Asur to Rabbanan because of a kanas, a penalty. We don't eat it. Madam Diraita Kidamran. The one who understands Asur Min HaTorah, like we said, Mas Shabbos Kodesh, Af Maaseh Kodesh. Anything you do is prohibited. Uman Amar Drabanan. The one says Drabanan. Amar Kra Kodesh. Who Kodesh? Shabbos is holy. Diraita Vimasav Kodesh. But its actions are not. So something which is cooked on Shabbat is not Asur Min HaTorah. It's only Asur. What? Drabanan. This is important. This is the continuation of the Gemara, and it's understood for everybody else. And clear Yochanan Sadbar and Shogeg. So all the rest of the cases, all of them, are dealing with an Yisur Dirabanan. Maaseh Shabbat, therefore, if it's ever Asur, it's only Asur Dirabanan. It's important. Okay? It's important for several reasons. What do we often say is a distinction between if something is prohibited in HaTorah, if something is only prohibited in Dirabanan? What's one of the differences? Classic difference. There are cases we can be makel, spekot, if they're doubtful cases. Okay? Things like that. Another case, another thing we could argue, we could discuss, right, is what case are we dealing with here? Are we talking about a Torah transgression or a rabbinic transgression? Now, if Yehuda Sandler says it includes us or Minha Torah, he must be talking about what type of transgression?
Torah.
A Torah transgression. Right? These other cases could be, but if he's consistent, maybe they're all talking about Torah transgressions. If we're dealing with a rabbinic mistake, or rabbinic transgression, then it would be a Yisur Dirabanan to a transgression Dirabanan. Follow? That's important. As we'll see when we come to the end of the discussion, it's very important. Vilna Gaon's going to jump on that. Okay? Follow so far? Any questions so far? Yeah.
How can he, Rav Hassan, treat the? I mean, he's treating it in one way, Doraita, one way, Dorabanan. But in the same case, he's saying that to others it's Dorabanan, to others it's Dorabanan.
Well, the nature of an Aveira, the nature of a transgression is, but maybe the person really had intent for doing a Torah transgression. There's a question about these other cases about what's the nature of a transgression due by accident.
So in this case, he's still treating it as Darabon.
Seemingly.
Also, is the Gemara talking about a non-Jew or a Jew? Or is it not?
These are all Jews. This is all, everything here is Jewish. A non-Jew cooks on Shabbat did not actually do a transgression. Right? If he cooks for a Jew, then we have to get into the... There's a sheet over there. Okay, we have to discuss what the issues are. Okay. Number five in Tosafot, they just fill out the map, which we already did, so we're going to skip Tosafot number five. Okay. Let's go to seven. Let's go jump the gun straight to the Rambam. Okay? Right, does he call Rav? Why do I call Rav here? Oh no, let's go to number three. I'm sorry, I skipped number three, and three is very important. Okay? It's an odd one. It's a very interesting one. Someone want to read three for me just real fast? Well, let's go slow. Ki mori lehu rav l'talmidei. What does that mean?
Rav's taught to his students.
When. Ki is when. When Rav taught to his students, Mori?
Mori Luhuk Rabbi Meir.
He did what?
He taught like Rabbi
Meir. Moreh doesn't just mean like to teach, like you sit in yeshiva and we're teaching. Moreh often has a stronger connotation. What is Moreh? He paskins. Okay? He paskins halacha to his students according to Rabbi Meir Shita. Okay, we'll flesh this out in 1 second. But when he... Right. Darish Bepirka means what? You know what that means? What's a perek?
Chapter.
It means a chapter or it means like a period. Okay? In a book, a period is called... We call it in English a chapter. In a public situation, lectures, a person's opportunity to give a lecture is called a perek. Pirkei means it's his turn to give the public lecture on Shabbat. So Darish means a public halachic drasha. So when Rav spoke publicly in Paskin, how do you Paskin? Like Rabbi Yehuda. So this is very important for the entire discussion. Rav Paskin for his students like this. The great mayor, and for the public, he paskined like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's flesh that out. When his students went to Rav and someone made a mistake on food on Shabbat, what did Rav tell his students? Everyone can eat it. Don't worry about it. Everyone can eat it. When he gave a public drasha and people from the neighborhood came to hear him and they said, Rabbi, what do we do if we accidentally cook? And what did he say? You have to wait till Saturday night. Okay? And on purpose, the same thing. I have a question for you. What's the law according to Rav?
He holds like Rabbi Meir. He's just putting a fence because people might get confused between the halacha, but his students probably know it in depth. So
Prof, we're taking a course in constitutional legal theory. You know, wherever country you're from. It seems like there's constitutional legal theorists in every single country except for Israel. They have an Israel too, but we don't have a constitution. Right? This would be a serious question. The nature of law. Is the nature of law... In other words, there's not necessarily a real right and wrong. The question is, what do we say the halacha is? Is the halacha what Rav says publicly, or is the halacha what Rav says privately? What is really the law, and how should the halachic codes, how should the poskim paskin? So if you were a posek, how would you paskin? Like Rabbi Yehuda, or like Rabbi Meir? What would you choose?
Rabbi Yehuda.
You'd choose Rabbi Yehuda. Why?
Because it's more sort of a strict opinion, so people, first of all, they're not going to get confused, and second of all, it's like a fence around the
okay. Board. However, what type of prohibition are we dealing with?
The Rabbana.
A Rabbana. It's interesting. So Rav Paskin, the Chumrah and Rabbana, right? But usually we Paskin cool with Rabbana. So it's like a strange case. Okay? And what's the nature of law? What he Paskins privately, to his students who know halakha, they're not going to mess up, or publicly? There's a thing in rabbinic literature, rabbinic notion, called chukah utulula. Chukah utulula, chukah means to laugh. And tulula means a scoff. Rabbis in the Gemara, sometimes they say, if we say X, Y, or Z, for those of you who are not from the United States, X, Y, or Z for Americans, if you say those things, people might laugh at the rabbis and say, well, what is that? That's a silly thing. I'll give you an example from England. There was a rabbi, Dinah Bronsky, Cheskel Bronsky, originally from Russia. He wrote a commentary on Tosefta. He was in Siberia in the Gulag. He eventually came to England, was on the Beth Din of London, I believe. He's Manchester. He was in Manchester, whatever. Major posek in Israel, but he was Manchester. Major posek in England. There's a story about him that he was once an expert witness in some legal case in England. And the judge asked him, what qualifications did he have to be in the court? He says, Your Honor, I am the foremost authority on Jewish law in all of Europe. To which the judge said to him, Rabbi, don't you think that's haughty to say that? And his response was, Yes, Your Honor, but I'm under oath. So, Dinah Bronsky was leaning into gelatin. He passed the cool in gelatin, and
I thought Jews like can be absolved.
What?
In court, what did Jews do?
I mean, that's like a story.
I'm asking anyway.
Did you take an oath?
Are you ready?
You can't take an oath on the Bible.
They take oath just like an oath. The Galilee.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it depends on which country it is. That's why can't you? I think Jews in America. I think Jews in America swear on a Hebrew Bible. Like Muslims swear on the Quran, and Christians swear on the Christian Bible.
I think in England,
Buddhists don't swear because they.
We call them people, so it's
yeah. Okay, that one I don't know. You can look it up. I don't know, but. In any event, don't like. We don't need to like you know start asking cut. That's what lit fish of you. Oh gosh, on the okay. It's a story. Doesn't matter. Dyer Bronsky Poskett was lenient in regards to gelatin, but he wrote his response to the author Tzitzel Ezra, Rabbi Waldenberg in Israel, and he wrote him. But please don't publish that. I don't want to publish this because it will come a chukah utula. People will think rabbis just make stuff up, and they'll read what I wrote, and they won't like it. So therefore, you should publish. So the Tzitzel Ezra did not put it in his tshuvot. He put it in the introduction. And he puts a footnote in the introduction. Hey, it's funny. Okay, so that's an example. Kugutsula. The riff, number six. We don't have so much time. So I'm
going to come up. I think it's only about cooking.
It's about every. That's a good question. It's pretty much about all malacha. Now, cooking, and some people suggest that there's one, at least one malacha which is different than all others, and that is a malacha of hotza'ah, of carrying. Carrying is almost spends more. There's almost more ink spilled in the Mishnah on carrying than any of the other malachot. The first sugya in Shabbat is about carrying. So the Tosafot asked, the Gemara asked, why we started carrying. Tosafot asked why we started carrying. It was called malacha grua. It's called a weak or flimsy malacha. It's flimsy because carrying, as opposed to almost all the other malachot, doesn't actually change anything. The fact that something is spatially here and I carry it to somewhere else, the object doesn't change. And cooking, it does. Even in borer, selecting, you add a mixture, you no longer do. There's actually some sort of major change going on. So if this applies to all areas of halakha, it happens to be it's quoted in Bishul and Shin Yud Chet in the Shulchan Aruch in Bishul, but it really applies to anything. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Number, so I'm going to go down all the way to the Rambam, number 7. The Rambam, Yisrael shasa malacha b'Shabbat. So a Jew who transgressed Shabbos, ima varva said b'zadon. If he did on purpose, asur lo lihanot boto malacha l'olam. He is forbidden from using it forever. B'shar yisrael mutol ham lihanot ba'al motzei Shabbat. Other Jews can use it motzei Shabbat. Who's that sound like? Right, exactly. Miat Nemar Shmart Minash Shabbat Kikosh He Kodesh Vimaseh Kodesh. Like the end of the Gemara says, it itself is only after Shabbat. And Ketzad Yisrael should be Shelbes Shabbat B'Mezid. A Jew who cooked on Shabbos Mezid Motzei Shabbat Yochal Acharim Aval Lo Lo, but he can't eat it. Well, hello. Yochal Ami. Bimbi Shelbe Shogeg. The Motzei Shabbat Yochal Bein Hu Bein Acharim. It's Rebbe Yehuda. The Rambam and the Rev constantly like this understanding of Rav. They understand Rav's public lecture is what defined the Lacha. So this is the Rambam. This is the Rev, etc. Okay? However, the Tosafot don't agree. The Tosafot Paskin, they actually Paskin like this understanding of Rambam. Okay, so we have a machloket, what appears to be a machloket Ashkenaz Svart, and how we interpret Rav's statement, how we Paskin. That's what we would have hoped. However, it's not so simple. The Beit Yosef, how do you think the Beit Yosef would Paskin in this case? Like Rabbi Yehuda, why?
Because it's like the Rambam.
Like the Rambam and the Rif. And indeed, that is the position of Moran Shulchan Aruch. Number 11, like the Rambam, Shabbat, Shabbat, Sa'achat Mishar Milachot. That's the that should be in Rashi script. That is the Ramah, right? Max answers your question, right? That's the Shita Ramah. B'mezia surlo lo'olam, acherim mutar l'motzei Shabbat miyad. So, let's take it and make it nice and clear. Someone accidentally cooks on Shabbat. Everyone, well, it does it on purpose. The guy himself who did it on purpose can never eat it. Others can eat it Saturday night immediately, like the Rambam. Oh, this is great. Again, this is the Shulchan Aruch. If they did it for Shogeg, continuing the Shulchan Aruch number 11 there. It was Shogeg, Asur Boba Yom, Gam Achirim, Ilera Gutar, Gam Lo. Again, Rabbi Yehuda. So this is also, not surprising, the position of Aran and Shulchan Aruch. Okay? So far, so good? Yafet! Okay. I'm surprised by this, yes.
What about something like Tanaran Blind? Does that mean you can't
go down? So let me finish and you'll ask that. I'll try and do some Masa ones in the next 10 minutes, okay? Okay, fine. The Mishabura, I'm going to say it outside because I don't have so much time. The Mishabura, surprisingly to me, agrees with the Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch, against the Tosafot. He says, look, the Beit Yosef argued this, and indeed we should be Machmir, like the position of Yehuda. So this is also the position of the Mishabura. Okay? So far, so good? You pile scan, like the middle position. Someone comes back on Shabbos, you can't eat it. Comes the Vilna Gaon before the Mishabura, though, right? Comes the Gra, and the Gra says, what are you talking about? We are Ashkenazi and Paskin like the Tosafot. Of course we do, like Rebbe Meir. Furthermore, says the Vilna Gaon, this entire discussion is only talking about when someone transgresses what type of Avera, what level of Avera? Diraita. You're not doing it today, huh? Diraita! When the Machaber said we pass in the Chumra like Rabbi Yehuda, that's in a Diraita, where it's only one rabbinic question. But if we did a transgression to Rabbanan, right, and they were to Rabbanan, even the Machaber, says the Vilna Gaon, would agree with me. Okay? The Mishabura Paskins, again, this is a general Sephardi Pesach, is it Rabbi Yehuda? The Mishabura Paskins, that you can follow the Vilna Gaon if you're stuck. Furthermore, we have to discuss one of the questions is Shogeg. What is Shogeg? The Mishabura is explicit. He argues Shogeg until the Shulchan, I'm on the post, can say this, well, I think the Kafkaim also, says Shogeg means you don't know the Lacha. Someone messed up. So in other words, they might have done Diraita Avera, they might have cooked the hamburger, which is Diraita Avera, but Shogeg, but they still is considered Shogeg, and therefore you can eat Saturday night, according to the Machaber by Mishabura. And the Vilna Gaon would say you can eat during the day. Mishabura says you can rely on the Vilna Gaon if you're stuck. Okay, he's explicit about that. Mishabura says, not a problem, rely on the Vilna Gaon. Personally, I would say you can rely on those Ashkenazim, not Sephardim. Sephardim should follow Moran Shulchan Aruch. I think the Ashkenazim can for sure rely on the Vilna Gaon Lechachila. I have no problem saying that. Is the Vilna Gaon for, you know?
He holds every mayor.
He holds every mayor. And Shulchan holds every mayor and Drabana. Okay? So let's give a scenario back to our original where we started point. We started with a tea. With a tea case. A woman brings out a thing of tea to a bunch of people. Okay? Now she cooked it in a klisheni. Put the water into klisheni, put the tea bag in. Okay? According to some poskim, that's really awesome. Moshe Feinstein says you should definitely not do it, only put in klishlishi, or Chashulchan says that's bishul diraita. Okay? So she brings it out. But we're talking about what type of isur here. To drink the tea is what level of isur? According to everybody, it's a drabana. What is public humiliation? That's an explicit diraita. To get up and publicly announce you can't eat something because someone messed up in Hilchot Shabbat is malpin chavir barabin. Now you're confronted as what do I do as a human being? I can be machmir and drabanans. I can be really frum, right? Or I could be really frum and be machmir and benanim chavira, which is also in Shatar, which David Melch says in Mark 2 votes. It's better to commit, he says, suffolk adultery in the Gemara. Suffolk adultery than it is to Malmanei Chavir Barabim. Why? Because Malmanei Chavir Barabim loses his kavod l'rabba. Right? It's very strict. So now, we're talking, let's say, what are the cases here? You're doing a case where a person transgressed an Isser Dravana. Not as a director. By the way, in the tea case, the rub or the Soloveitchik is not a problem with tea and klisheni. Lechachila. Because he holds it, it's called tavlin, and tavlin you can put into a klisheni. He says it's not cooking, it's a diyanaj or shakhtar does, and therefore not only did this mother not do a chashash, you know, it might have been according to those post-game and say it's really a problem, maybe even diyaraita problem, or a shulchan, maybe. But the rub said it's mutter. You certainly postulate the rub and embarrassing someone publicly. It's like crazy. But what about you? Someone did that. They cooked on Shabbat. let's say they cooked on Shabbat, but they only did a rabbinic transgression. They reheated something that I don't have time to get to that. It's like the next year, actually, since they're reheating. They reheated something that's for sure Yazir Drabanan. Okay? So now, for sure Ashkenazim, I think you can eat the stuff without Chashash, follow the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon even says that the Machaber Shulchan Aruch would pass in that way. What about Sephardim? I don't know. I think if it's a case where you can avoid it, you should avoid it. If it's a case where you embarrass someone, I wouldn't avoid it. Let's give a practical example. By accident, someone reheats stuff up on Shabbat, doing something which is dry. They heat it up in the wrong way. They transgress against the Rabbanan the way they heat it up, and they serve it on Shabbat. Right? So, should you eat it? Should you not eat it? I personally would eat it. I would rely on the Vilna Gaon and the position of Rabbi Meir. I think it's fine to eat. If I wanted to be machmir like the Mishnah Berura and do that, I would do it in a certain way that no one noticed. I think that's the appropriate thing to do, and if someone would notice, I think that's probably
that's
all the time we have.
Is that in the case of Rabbanan?
Yeah, we're done.
Is someone trying to transgress the Doraita?
Next last starts in 5.
If someone transgressed the Doraita, would you hold back? Like, would you still eat it?
I'd follow. If I could avoid it, I might.
Like, in a case of not embarrassing someone.
That's when they really put the steak, they didn't know it was us, so they really put the steak on Shabbat. Here, it's a steak on Shabbat. If they wouldn't notice, I probably wouldn't eat it. If they would notice, I would have no problem following the Vilna Gaon. At Shogeg, the Mishnah says it's a mistake, and they didn't know the halacha, so then
you just
try to avoid it.
Can you quickly explain the top row?
Yeah. Rabbi Meir says if someone accidentally cooked on Shabbat, everyone can eat it. On Shabbos itself, okay? They didn't know, they screwed up, like they turned it into like something. If they did it on purpose, they know it was usher. And they did it anyway, then you can't eat it until Saturday night.
Almost the dotted line in between the
just
two.
Just
that's
effect.
him and everyone.
Right, and then what about, for example, the light switch?
So let's say that you have a Jewish person and they if it's a non-Jew and they walk into your maternal light, absolutely no problem. You can do whatever you want. That's not a problem. As long as they benefit from
is that
it.
For a problem with a non-Jew?
If they did just for you. You're sitting in the room and they walked in and said, oh, don't look at that, I'll turn on for you. So that's problematic. If, however, they read, that's not a problem. They just have to get benefit. Either now let's say you have you're with Jewish friends. Right, and they're not religious, and you're in a room, and they turn on the light. It actually is problematic, okay? Because they did it. Malacha on Shabbat, right? Bim Maisi. Yeah. Let's say they don't know that electricity is problematic. So I would think if you could avoid it. But
also, there's no kadeshiyasu there because to turn on the light takes 1 second.
Yeah, but again, Kadesh Yasser is knocked out.
No one holds by that. Only for.
Yeah, the Beit Yosef knocks it out.
What is that only for? Goy, for a non-Jew.
Yeah, for a non-Jew. So, let's give me a non-Jew example. A non-Jew example, let's say that they cooked for you. I mean, let's say they cooked something which is good for them to cook for you. They cooked an egg for you. Okay, cooked the egg for you closely in a Saturday night. You have to wait Saturday night for the 10 minutes it takes to cook the egg, or 5 minutes to cook the egg.
Sorry, so non-Jews can cook for Jews on Shabbos.
They're not supposed to.
But they can.
You have to wait until that
Shabbat,
and then you have to wait how long it takes.
What if they cook for themselves
and have 5 minutes to eat?
That would be okay. As long as they're not, the issue of Bishul Hakam, we're not getting into that. There's another issue of non-Jew cooking at all. But forgetting that for a second, if a non-Jew ever does something, I'll give you a pristine example. I once was Scott Redford in a hotel for Pesach.
They must
have. And they had non-Jewish waiters. The non-Jewish waiters would take your order and write it down. Okay? That's actually permissible.
Because it's for them to...
It's for them to remember. Not your problem, it's their problem.
And also, what if you have a non-religious friend who knows that lights are asur, but he doesn't really keep Shabbat?
Yeah, so that, there's a little disagreement.
That's amazing.
It's a little disagreement between what Yasser and everyone else. If he learned in yeshiva, learning yeshiva, then I would say that's kind of the basic category.
If you're
Jewish friend, you didn't really learn yeshiva, his parents aren't from, I think that everything is okay. They don't know halacha, they don't know what they're doing. Like, even they say, oh, I know, Jews aren't
really,
they haven't internalized it or known what's going on.
So then it counts as Meshuggah.
I would argue it counts as Meshuggah. Again, in those cases, if you can avoid it, avoid it. If you can't, then I think it's not a problem.
Also, sorry, you said the fort Rashi held by Miad for... Sorry, you said the Rambam held by Miad?
This is Rambam, like Rabbi Yehuda.
No, but eating after Shabbat. Eating after Shabbat.
Yasu.